You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. It was me. At one point, I was laughing at seemingly nothing in this movie because I was just, you know how that is, a joke occurs to yourself. And I pictured Denzel Washington going, "I'm Roman J. Israel Esquire. Forrest Gump ain't got nothing on me."
See, I just kept on waiting on the my man. But I feel like Aquaman stole that for this year and used it, and he can't use it again.
He's the new Denzel Washington, Jason Momoa, is what you're saying.
No,
I'm not saying that. I probably not, though.
What's his name? Black Panther's the new Denzel Washington.
Chadwick Boseman?
Yeah, because he's in everything.
That's true. But we are talking about, as mentioned, Roman J. Israel Esquire. This is a legal fantasy, fairy tale.
I would hesitate to say it's not really, you're not going to get like a Civil Action or Philadelphia out of this. This is, honestly, this to me is more akin to like a Steve Carell middle age movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was that one? Crazy Stupid Love. This is more like that, but the character happens to be a civil rights lawyer.
Right.
Because it really doesn't involve courtroom drama, and they tease you with it almost the entire time. They almost tease you with a better movie. And it's very frustrating.
Yeah, this is a movie that is at odds with itself. And it's Dan Gilroy, who just recently inspired a lot of confidence by his directorial debut with Nightcrawler, the fantastic Jake Gyllenhaal movie that he also wrote. But he's been writing for a long time and has done stuff that I liked, like Kong Skull Island that he worked in, and stuff that is laughably ridiculous, like Free Jack back in 92.
See, I liked Real Steel. I was that one.
No, actually, if I remember, is that the one with... I was actually the guy who defended that as well.
It's such a fun little movie.
I didn't think it was great, but it was okay. It was better than people said it was.
Yeah, people get hyperbolic, man.
But this falls, I feel like, firmly more in the ground of his, like, silly stuff. And like I said, I get it. It's supposed to be, we're all a little or a lot morally outraged about stuff. And this main character here that Denzel Washington is playing is, he's been a lawyer for 35 years, working in essentially a closet-sized office with...
Been taken advantage of.
Well, not necessarily. He's working for a guy that, you know, was his professor, was like this, like, very big civil rights guy.
Yeah.
They're working as criminal defense attorneys for people who can't afford it. So they're working for nothing. They're losing money doing what they do. So he's working for nothing. He's living in a shithole apartment. He wears something that could barely be qualified as a suit every day.
Well, I mean, it's adjusted for inflation. It's a suit in 1979.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's the same suit every day, though. That's for sure. He desperately needs some hair care product.
The brother needs to cut his fur a little bit. He needs to get it all manicured out.
But his job is his partner, you know, his former professor, is the guy who goes and handles all the in-court stuff. He has never even, like, it appears like he's never even been in court is what it looks
like. Honestly, it feels like his partner, all he does is go to court, whereas I don't know if his partner ever actually knew the law, because it's like Denzel does all the briefing.
Well, we never actually see them. There's no actor. In fact, there's a point where we're in the office and there's a painting of them on the wall and they intentionally keep it out of focus.
Well, no, there was a picture. Like
you couldn't really see it, but
yeah. Like,
that's what I'm saying. They kept keeping it kind of out of focus.
They did.
Because he is, when we come into this movie, we find out very quickly that he has had a heart attack. Gone to the hospital, that is indeed the sort of thing that's going to, one way or the other, keep him from doing his job anymore. Yeah. Roman decides, well, I'll just go in where he's just supposed to ask for a continuation to the cases, and instead can't help but get involved. And we start to realize this guy, who was the guy who did all the research, did everything else, I mean, it was a two-person law firm, is got to be somewhere deep into the autistic scale.
Well, yeah, and he doesn't understand, for somebody who's really, they present him as very good, you know, at briefing arguments, doing the technicality and the written part of law, it bends understanding that he wouldn't know how the practicalities work.
That's the first issue here, where you're like, wait, he doesn't even understand the most basic aspects of courtroom arguing.
Yeah.
And because he's so motivated by his roots, which is the beginnings of the civil rights movement and the outrage. I mean, his house is covered with pictures of famous people from that period. And then, of course, the Keep on Truckin' picture. But he himself is a, I mean, he belongs.
He's a relic.
Yeah, as Indiana Jones would say, he belongs in a museum. Yeah, I like. And to the point where, how are you even existing in L.A. like this? I mean, have you, you're aware the internet exists.
That's one of my problems with this movie. And this is symptomatic of a larger problem with this movie, is that I don't feel like the ideas are well thought out in the script.
No, they're, like I said, they're more like a fairy tale than they are like something that could really be viably plausible. But let me continue with the plot
to
the crux of it. So he finds himself in a position he can't run this law
Statement
firm.
Statement of facts.
He's been told you can't run this law firm. You're just financially, you're not in a position that you can't.
Doesn't even
do
try
it.
To fight it.
Yeah, well, there's not much he could do. The way that the thing is structured, apparently.
Yeah.
And so he finds himself, after multiple failed attempts at trying to get idealistic-type jobs, to basically take up an offer by a guy who was a former student as well of his mentor, but who seems to have not have drank the Kool-Aid like Roman did.
This is your foil.
Colin Farrell, who is like a top lawyer at a giant, you know, impersonal law firm, who's basically taking him in because when he starts talking to the guy, he's like, this guy is like a human encyclopedia of the law.
No,
which,
he's
once
brilliant.
Again, it makes no sense that he would have no idea how to compose himself in a courtroom.
Yeah, he would know. I mean, if you're an encyclopedia of the text-based law, the statutes and the case law, you just have to know the practical, because it's an incomplete picture.
Yeah. It doesn't
I'm sorry.
Make
I just
sense. No, I get it. It's a very frustrating part of the movie early on. But he is trying to make his best to make it work at this firm where he just cannot keep his mouth shut. He just calls out whatever. I mean, even against other people who are like, you know, activists who you think they would be on the same side, he's so unaware of social changes that have happened since the period of time that, like, he gets in fights with them. It's like he's a time traveler or something.
Yeah, it's like they still make you like a beta?
Yeah.
Like a Betamax?
But the movie comes down to a crux for basically him having a major crisis of conscience slash lack of conscience, where it's like, what is the point of all this if nobody gives a fuck?
And also, what have you shown me in this character that gets me to that gets him there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like I got why he would get there. In fact, I, to some degree, it was like, man, you put in enough work. It is time for you to maybe just make some money and be a lawyer. I mean, I hate to be that guy.
But with his skills, he didn't need to do that with his skills.
Right.
He could have easily, I mean, easily with those skills, gone and got a job making $250 a year.
Yeah, but we're once again talking about a guy who, like, is incapable of even making basic conversation with people without pissing them off. And then magically, the movie decides he's really good at it once he's decided that he is going to forego his moral stance and just be a money-making lawyer. That's the biggest problem. This movie asks you to buy this huge switch that would have been possible to pull off, I think, if they hadn't presented him as such a magical savant like character.
Yeah, this movie doesn't, it makes decisions that act like it's backing itself into a corner, but it's a corner it painted itself into. It's like it started mopping a room, but it mopped itself into a corner and said, I don't know how to get out now.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you dumbass, you put yourself there. Like, it starts with a character who, although he's supposed to know the law, in the opening scene, he makes like three mistakes on his opening pleading, is how the movie starts off, with him typing on a screen.
Yeah, right off the bat, you're like, I don't understand how this is possible.
Yeah, like, why would you even do that? And then it's like things just happen in this movie because they feel like they need to happen at a certain mark in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that seems organic. And the thing it was trying to say, you know, about criminal justice reform and the way the system functions is completely undercut, because at the end of it, you almost feel like it's a takedown of people who do devote their lives to this stuff.
Well, that's the thing is, like, that really bugged me here, and I felt like it was only so they could get it to some semblance of a happy ending, was this guy was, like, treading water, mm-hmm. even when he was working for this other lawyer, you know, until the point where he actually started doing, which the movie wants to criticize, him working inside the system, where you're like, wow, now you're inspiring people for change in a place, in a form where you can really make a difference while still doing a regular job and making a good living and living in a fancy apartment and everything. That's not evil to have those things.
But there's nothing wrong with telling the conflict of that story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like this movie got lazy.
Yeah.
It didn't want to tell the story of how you internally deal with that conflict and have a real existential crisis and watch that. It cheapened out with this external, you know, man versus world story when it was really man versus self.
Yeah.
And it didn't want to tell that story because I honestly felt like they just felt like they didn't have to.
They wanted to be populist over a really good, interesting movie by making him make this, like, a believable that it could happen, bad moral decision, but, you know, in the midst of this total crisis that he's having midway through the movie, but only serves in the movie to be kind of a MacGuffin plot point. Yeah,
exactly. It's a MacGuffin in a movie that, if you have a MacGuffin in an action movie, whatever, I'm cool with it. You know, the hunt for the Infinity MacGuffins, cool with me.
No, a MacGuffin in and of itself isn't bad.
But it's
a cheap-out ploy for a film that acts like it's about something more important.
And that's the thing, it's more important than that. It's not, they should want to stretch more. And I just, honestly, whoever wrote this script...
Dan Gilroy.
I just don't understand how they let it get shot like this. And I don't understand, honestly, how Denzel Washington let this get done like this, because it's something I know this is important. This issue is important to him, and his performance is really good. It's the only reason I'm going to give this anything above a 4.
Yeah.
But honestly, this movie does a disservice to people who actually are trying, because it characterizes them in the worst parts of life. At best, because there's a character, Maya, who's younger, who works at these organizations. At best, it characterizes Maya as a person that doesn't really understand the world. And then at worst...
Maya, we've not said, is a woman that he meets who works at the civil rights, basically a volunteer firm nearby that he tries to get a job for. And even though everyone else is like, what a relic, she's like kind of moved by his words. She says to a guy who's making fun of him after he leaves, like, hey, you stand on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And they try to kind of make her a symbol for... like saying like, oh, well, like civil rights, they're just not what they used to be.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not sure that's true.
Yeah. And it has something to say, but I don't think it understands what it's trying to say. I would love to see who they consulted with to write this script.
Yeah.
Cause honestly, it sounds like a really jaded, burned out lawyer.
Who's it? Carmen Ejogo plays Maya, for the record. And I actually thought she did a really good job.
She did fine.
I think Colin Farrell was kind of sleepwalking his way through this one.
He was fine, too.
He's fine. He does what he needs to do, but nonetheless, he doesn't ever put in an awful lot of effort into the role.
No, he plays Colin Farrell.
Washington is doing his best, and he has some really strong moments, but the problem is just the way his character's written in the first place. His capacity as an actor to really pull off a strong character like this only lends to your sense of disbelief
exactly
that this guy would be real.
They ask him to do what Denzel Washington does and make the character alive and do a good job, but the character they're asking him to do is so bad and out of congruence with the rest of the script. It exacerbates the problem.
It does, completely. I couldn't agree more. Now, I do, as you were saying, there are things definitely, like, you know, his performance is so strong. I also want to call out, for whatever reason, and it almost is out of place in the rest of the film, the cinematography is gorgeous here.
Yeah, and there's some really strong symbolism, too, that they show
throughout
the entire thing.
There's some stunning visual works in this, in the middle of this thing at points where you're like, wow.
On the beach?
The whole scene on the beach was like, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And it feels thoroughly out of place in this film.
Yeah, it feels like a movie, it feels like a midlife crisis movie where you're getting that resolution, and I'm so disappointed because I was looking forward to this.
It was so silly that I honestly expected he was going to turn into like a blaxploitation style, like Street Avenger.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is all so preposterous that that's the only way I could see this movie going to like feel like it made any cinematic sense, if you will.
Yeah. And like, honestly, like this is something that people hate when critics say, I feel like I could have wrote a better sequel to this movie than this movie, because they tease you at the end with this great legal thriller that you could be watching next.
Yeah,
and it's like, you'll never see it.
I'd almost be more interested in watching what happens after the end without Denzel Washington even involved.
Yeah, just
you know, it's like, wow, that would be a landmark court case, you ridiculous, like, pie-in-the-sky fantasists who wrote this movie.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, as they were talking about that potential case, I just was sitting there taking it apart in my head. I'm like, here's, like, 5, 10, 15, 20 different reasons that would never work.
Yeah.
But I want to be convinced.
Yeah, you're a lawyer, so trust Elliot. He knows what he's talking about.
Well, it's
about.
Like, the stuff they're talking about, when you get that high in what you're talking about, you're talking about policy, and policy is set by politics, not by law. They're circuitous, but he's over here trying to have all these legal arguments. None of that's going to matter unless the society has changed to the point that they agree with you.
Right.
It's the reason that Plessy versus Ferguson took 50 years to be overturned by Brown versus Board.
Okay.
Because the law didn't change.
Now you're getting more much. Well, yeah, like
Plessy versus Ferguson said that separate was equal in schools.
Oh, okay.
Brown versus Board integrated in schools.
Oh, I knew what the second one was. Yeah. I wasn't sure what the first one was.
In that 50 years, the law never changed.
Right.
What changed is attitudes toward the law, which changed the interpretation.
Right.
He is over here fighting. That makes him look even worse. I've only been an attorney for 8 years. And I know this.
Yeah, you know.
He should fucking know this.
But, you know, I'm sure the writers of this movie would be like, yes, but that's because you're damaged by the cynicism of modern culture. I know. That's why I keep thinking of Forrest Gump when I'm watching this, because he's like this naive innocent in a world, you know, where nobody is like him. But then the movie wants to convince you, but he brings that sense of innocence to other people and uplifts their own hidden idealism.
Here's the thing. He would have been broken down much earlier in his career.
Oh, yeah.
If he was like that.
Well, it's the reason why the dude hid him in a closet for 35 years.
Yeah, and it's like, you let him pay you $500 a week to do some complicated ass work.
Yeah.
You deserve your crisis, sir.
That's more money I'm making now.
Like, he's over here working like 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
Dude, man, what the hell?
Yeah, that's. I know. Even you're even more pissed off as a lawyer. Going, come on, man.
When he goes, oh, you paid him $500. We're like, what?
I know. You like audibly gasp
because that's hard fucking work. Like I've only written like 3 briefs in my life because I just don't do that type of work.
I wear briefs.
Yeah, like it's hard, exacting work, and it's like you. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just, honestly, it gave me no sense of sympathy towards him.
Yeah. Because well, he never like it was, seems real.
Yeah. It felt like, it's like, if you want to go where he's in self-imposed martyr, I see that a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, you have martyr syndrome. They're cool. But tell that story.
There's a way to tell that story and make it feel real. This was not it.
Yeah. And just like, and if you're not going to make it feel real, that's cool too.
Right.
Make it magical. Make it magical realism. Or you can make it a midlife crisis movie. Make a choice and go down that road. Don't. It's like, here's what it is. I feel like they wrote this movie like they write a pleading in law. In a pleading, you can do a thing called a plead in the alternative. So you can say, if that argument doesn't work, then this argument works. Then I'm going to say this argument. And if those two arguments don't work, this argument works. So they said, if your midlife crisis movie doesn't work, here's your Forrest Gump movie. Huh. And if your Forrest Gump movie doesn't work, here's your great cinematography movie. And you know what? It doesn't work the same way.
It does not. Well, keep going to your final thoughts.
So I'm so disappointed in this movie, because Denzel Washington acts his ass off and he goes against type for the first time in a while. I feel like he's not just playing Denzel, because like Magnificent Seven, he was playing Denzel on the Old West.
His sleepwalking is through that thing. For
Equalizer,
sure.
He was playing a very neat Denzel.
Yeah.
Like he's been playing Denzel since Man on Fire.
He's been working with Tony Scott for so long. He's just kind of like, just be Denzel.
Yeah.
That's all we need. Just be Denzel.
But this one had the opportunity for him to, for his monster, like Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
He made himself ugly.
He did.
For the first time. And he got a lot of shit from people randomly because he made himself ugly.
Yeah.
And it's like, you wasted such a good performance by him on a stupid movie. Bad scriptwriter. Horrible scriptwriter. You could feel the director pulling against the script. You could feel the actors
same,
trying.
It's the same writer and director. So
I thought it was...
No, Dan Gilroy.
Oh, shit. Wrote and directed. I can't even give him that credit.
Yeah, I can't believe, like I said, he just did Nightcrawler 2 years ago, and you're like, how is this by the same
guy? I didn't like
guy?
Nightcrawler, but I know it's a good movie.
I loved it.
No, but I could tell it was put together well.
Right.
And it had something to say about news coverage, and it told a story. This one, I'm going around in circles. I give this 5.5... My man's out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, at 129 minutes, this thing really starts to feel long by the halfway point. I mean, holy shit. And it is elevated to some extent, like you said, by Denzel Washington doing some really interesting work, which we don't always get to see Washington do anymore. I mean, we all love to see him just play Denzel Washington, but it seems like rarely does he get offered a chance for a role he can really sink his teeth into. And here, and sure enough, they even, like, despite the implausibility of his character and the way he's written, his watching him speak this dialogue, which is clever and funny, is kind of a delight at
points. And his mannerisms?
His mannerisms, all the stuff going there. But yeah, the plot just gets so goddamn silly, and this movie wants to be a crowd pleaser, and it doesn't seem to know how to do it, really. It can't. It's not going to please critics overall, and it's not going to please crowds
it's
overall.
It's definitely not going to please crowds.
It's just a almost ran that really needed somebody else to take a look at the script and go, here's where it needed a fixer really bad, because this could have been a really good movie, and but I can't give it a higher ranking based entirely on what ifs, because it is what it is. And I give it 5 out of 10 turkey maple bacon donuts.
Sound fucking amazing.
That's the best thing in the movie, man. Him eating those donuts, I was just like, they make turkey maple bacon bacon donuts.
I might take my butts to Voodoo Donuts right now
and get one of those bad boys. I'm telling you what, you practice law, you can.
Am I man?
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Club, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.